If art should reflect society, it's not always a perfect mirror. Our society is a lot more diverse than perhaps what shows up on TV or movie screens on a regular basis. The Oregon Shakespeare Festival works hard to acknowledge diversity on its stages, and it takes things a bit further with Culture Fest, an every other year festival that returns to OSF for 4 days starting September 11th. There's going to be a lot to see, a lot to hear, and even a lot to eat. So let's hear about the events. We have two guests with us in the studio. Louis Morgan Douthat, longtime veteran of the Shakespeare Festival, director of literary development there. Louis, thanks for joining us once again.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey, for inviting us.
And Antonio Lyons is here as well, the Culture Fest co-producer. Antonio, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.
Who is the other co-producer then?
Freda Casillas, who is a force of nature herself, who's a visionary behind Culture Fest, starting along with other departments at OSF, because it's truly a collaborative event.
Okay, let's learn a little bit about you in turn before we get too deep into the discussion. So tell us what your day job is at the Shakespeare Festival when you're not working on Culture Fest, Antonio, and then Louis will move on to you as well.
Well, I think that's a little different than other people who work at OSF, because right now that's my only job, is to co-produce Culture Fest. I'm housing audience development, which is an outward-facing department that really focuses on bringing in diverse audiences to OSF. I came to OSF initially last year as a FAIR producing fellow, which stands for fellowships, assistantships, internships, and residencies. And it is a program curated by Sharifa Joka that really looks at diversifying OSF internally in terms of its staffing, the entire company, to make sure that they're supported in having opportunities to learn more and to contribute to a really vibrant community already. And OSF is just really on the cutting edge and making sure that it does that in that particular sort of way. So I was invited back to be a part of this initiative as co-producer of Culture Fest.
Okay, and FAIR again, fellowships, assistantships, internships, and residencies, all about increasing diversity.
All about increasing. It's amazing. And the FAIR participants I've met are from all over the country, all sort of backgrounds. You know, it's not just about race and ethnicity, but it's also about gender dynamics. It's also about people with different disabilities and challenges in that way, and making sure they have access and an opportunity.
And Louis, your job as director of literary development, you probably have more syllables than some of the other people at the festival, but what does that involve?
I do have a lot of syllables. It's true, but I just want to say something about Antonio, and that is his day job here is being the producer, co-producer of Culture Fest. The minute I knew he was coming back, because I'd had the pleasure of working with him last year, I said, and you're going to produce these play readings too for me, right? Which actually wasn't technically on his plate. So I'm taking great advantage of his experience and his nice, the fact that he would say yes before I kind of told him exactly what I was going to get him involved with. So I was really grateful that he's taken on that too. So he's got a full plate during his day. What do I do? So literary development and dramaturgy, which is the whole title. Half of that work is in terms of scouting and helping with the commissions and helping Bill in terms of season planning. So anything that has to do with sort of the documents, the drama part. And then dramaturgy, I was just thinking about it. You know, we were joking before we started.
We love the word dramaturg.
Yeah, exactly. We love that word. And I've only been doing it for a lot of years, and I still don't have a soundbite answer. But here's today's answer, which is that I am part of a creative team that breaks the code. Plays are written in codes, two-dimensional sort of art object, and I'm the one that helps break the code, along with directors and designers and actors.
That's a soundbite answer.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
you
finally
good
got
today.
It. You can talk to the TV people now.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but in that role then, I mean, there's something about interpreting plays, breaking the code for today's audience, right? I mean, you have to make it relevant to today's audience, which includes things like incorporating diversity that did not exist, certainly, in Shakespeare's time.
Right. Well, you know, there's a lot of things we don't really know about what was the intention behind, you know, the plays 400 years ago. We can surmise some things just based on our own entry into plays now, and kind of hope that there's the same intention in terms of responding to today. I'm also tagging onto your great introduction about of the world today and how art should reflect. And assuming 2,500 years ago with the Greeks, art was reflecting, and 400 years ago and moving our way forward, that it's always going to reflect. And what does that reflection mean? And how is that reflection to be assembled to then have us look at? I think I think theater is always about challenging our assumptions and beliefs, which can mean eventually confirming, but that there's going to be a challenge of what I believe looking up on that stage. And I think that when we can do that, then we have a really interesting potential for a dialogue between sort of the art object itself and the community, i.e. the audience.
So even if the answer is what you expected, you've at least asked the question.
Exactly.
Louis Douthat and Antonio Lyons from the Oregon Shakespeare Festival are guests on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about Culture Fest 2014 coming up September 11th through 14th at the festival. And we'll come back and talk more with them and take your phone calls and emails if you'd like to join us on the Exchange. Back here with our guests and you in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service, I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our topic today is the upcoming Culture Fest at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival based in Ashland on the Oregon side. The events of Culture Fest run September 11th through 14th. This is an every other year feast at the festival. We'll talk about why in just a few moments. Antonio Lyons is the Culture Fest co-producer. He's joined by Louis Morgan Douthat, who's the Director of Literary Development and Dramaturgy at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And you can join us as we talk about diversity in life, in society, on the stages of the theater, and how it's reflected in something like Culture Fest. Join us at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. We haven't talked, I guess, Antonio, at this point, what the general goal of Culture Fest is and how long it's been going on at the festival.
Culture Fest has been going on for a number of years now. And its goal is to really celebrate diversity and inclusion and social justice, which is really a core part of OSF's mission, and to really celebrate the work that we've been doing in that area, you know, not just this year, not just with Culture Fest, but, you know, it's been a long road for OSF to continue every year, figure out how do we continue to diversify our audiences? How do we continue to diversify what we see on our stages? How do we continue to diversify the ways in which we engage with our larger community in the Rogue Valley and beyond? Because like Louis was saying earlier, you know, theater art has that ability to shift and change perspectives. So that's its purpose, to really celebrate that work that's being done and to provide an opportunity for our various audiences and communities to come together and celebrate with us.
Why is it an every other year event? I'm sure it's not set up to coincide with elections or anything.
Well, as you know, I hope not. But we might be able to use that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, exactly.
It is a massive undertaking. OSF it has a season that runs pretty much February to November. It's a year-round organization that even when there isn't anything on the stages, we're planning for the years to come. And this particular thing, I think of myself as less as a co-producer and more of a curator, because it requires the commitment and dedication of audience development, literary, community productions, which is Claudia Alec. Education has a major part in it right now, and their representative at the moment with us is Robert Goodwin. And so it really is...
And development, too.
And development, yeah, and development as well, yeah. So there really is a lot of wheels that spin and a lot of goodwill to make this occur. And to be able to do it every year might be a bit challenging.
So, Louis, does the Shakespeare Festival season then, since you know, okay, this is going to be a year when we have Culture Fest, this is going to be a year we don't, this year in particular, would you arrange the plays in any way to incorporate Culture Fest? I mean, do you pick the plays with Culture Fest in mind, for example?
We do now know that there'll be a Culture Fest every other year, at least for the, within the short couple of years span, you know. And so we do think about what weekend would be the way to maximize. But, you know, when you look at the schedule anyway, you could almost create your own Culture Fest any weekend you're here. If you think about the kaleidoscopic, you know, the breadth and depth of the plays you could see in a two- or three day span anyway. So in some ways, we're just kind of formalizing what we think people are doing anyway and adding a couple of other wonderful programs, especially ways to have audience interaction and form community to talk to artists and with themselves. And we've got several different ways that we have set that aside, one being something simple like a hospitality lounge. That was one. I said, "Hey, we all have to just have a place to hang out." So we've set aside one of the rehearsal rooms for, I think it's like 12 hours a day or something,
yeah.
And it's just an open space, which is kind of lovely that people can wander in, and there'll be talk backs there as well as a lot of impromptu conversations, I'm assuming. So we've just added some programming and sort of maximized and sort of created a festival that I think that would happen almost all the time anyway.
So it could it potentially move on the calendar based on which it would be the most optimum weekend?
Exactly. And I think it has. I mean, it's been the fall for logistic reasons, partly so that getting up all the 11 plays in some ways. Once that big chunk of energy that happens at the end of July when the last play opens, it kind of opens for all of us. We can kind of look up a little bit and say, hey, what if we try to take advantage of this? And then this year in particular, because Water by the Spoonful was going to come back into the calendar, that was one of the reasons that we tried to figure out to do it in September. So that it does float around a little bit in the calendar based on how we can maximize the kinds of plays that are over a weekend.
So Water by the Spoonful is one of the plays that took a rest and then came back?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Which we hadn't done for a couple of years, but we are doing that this year with the short version, the short run of a Family Album.
So let's use that play as an example. I mean, what is it about Water by the Spoonful that makes it something good to include as part of Culture Fest?
Well, for one thing, it's a very contemporary story set in Philadelphia, and is about a diverse group of people, family, as well as an interesting theme about how to connect in our electronic world, you know, and also the ironic connection of sort of addiction and how the need for community and sort of disparate and different kinds of people who come together based on a common need. And that seemed to be like a logical, great play to have included in this kind of a weekend celebration.
And I think in addition to that, also some of the themes or issues within the play are dealing with war veterans, young war veterans, you know, and how universal some of those issues are within our communities. And that particular character is Latino as well. And it really shows just sort of the universality of themes of struggle, themes of connection, of community, of communication that are beyond just one particular group. That becomes part of the American fabric of our story in a contemporary way. Like, how do we support each other in these ways and growing through these challenges and these issues?
And you set this up well before by reminding us that diversity is not just about skin color, ethnicity, mm-hmm. but it's about abilities and, I mean, a whole range of things that separate groups from one another
mm-hmm.
and ultimately can unite them as well.
And that said, this particular play, too, the playwright Chiara Alegria Hudis has talked about how she wanted to write a play that wasn't just about one culture that was hers, which is Latina and in Philadelphia, and that actually she she deliberately expanded, you know, the kinds of folks that are in the play, which seems to sort of also fit into, you know, our idea of Culture Fest.
All right, so obviously there was an effort to incorporate Culture Fest or have Culture Fest sit on a weekend when you have plays that represent diversity. But we haven't even talked about some of the other events, Antonio, of Culture Fest, which seems like most of the ones that actually aren't the plays are free.
There are a lot of free events, and just to sort of, which I'm excited about, you know. And, you know, it's in these particular economic times, you know, being able to have access to great programming that is free or that may be at a discounted price is just amazing and wonderful. But part of that programming really, and you talked about how we tie the things together, our current season and Culture Fest, is that one of the things that we're doing is a play reading of Chiara's first play, Elliot. And Water by the Spoonful is the second piece in that trilogy. And then next season, we'll be doing the third piece in that trilogy. And so we're doing a stage reading of that work. So that's something that we're offering And that'll be on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. And on Sunday, we're doing another reading also of another young playwright. His name is Josh Wilder, a piece called Leftovers.
Not to be confused with the TV show by the same name.
Completely not to be confused.
It's also a part of a trilogy, too.
Yeah, it is. So that also is part of a trilogy. So there are all these places of connection. And in terms of talking about sort of diversity and inclusion, like, we're really, really excited that we have leadership that continues to move forward the mission of diversity and inclusion with Bill Rausch. And he's going to host this amazing conversation on Friday at 10 a.m. And it's going to be him and David Henry Wong, and Carmen Morgan's going to be with us, and Sarah Bellamy from Penumbra. And that's African-American, it's white, it's Asian, it's, you know, Latina, because it's also going to be hosted by our Lydia Garcia. And it's going to be a dynamic conversation, you know, where we get an opportunity to talk about what diversity looks like in American theater. What does inclusion look like in American theater? What does it look like here in Ashland? And how can we continue to impact this sort of national conversation that gets at the heart of who we are as an artistic community and a culture?
Diversity in art and in society are topics here on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk to the folks involved with Culture Fest at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival coming up September 11th through 14th. Antonio Lyons is the co-producer. Louis Morgan Douthat is OSF's Director of Literary Development. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Let's talk about diversity in society and in the arts and things you may have noticed that you think are great developments and things that you think are eh. Join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6760. 782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Louis, 20th season, 21st season at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival?
Yes.
All right. In that time, in the theater world generally and at OSF specifically, have there been huge changes in the way society is reflected on the stage?
I think so, yes. And I think also there's been a huge change in the way we are making plays. That also is sort of reflected, you know, in the way we're producing them and the kinds of people that are coming to see them as well. And that, I think, is really one of the most exciting things. This weekend coming up in mid-September is about access, really, how to open things up. And in the last 20 years, we see more and more a need for a desire, a strong interest in wanting to participate, to immerse. The whole thing about trilogies we were just talking about, I mean, there's this sort of these great society all the way. There's this really interesting need for sort of like deep and broad experiences to be, you know, shown on the stages. And I think it's not only Shakespeare, in some ways, sort of leads us right to that in terms of expansive worldviews, right? So, yes, we have done, we have expanded the kind of literature we've done in terms of genre. But we've also embraced the way that plays are being devised more and are more inclusive in terms of who participates in the process of making them and how vital audience interaction is in terms of the ways projects are received by them as an event itself. It's actually quite exciting. There's so much great new writing going on in different forms and in different ways that are both individual as well as reflective of what's going on. And I think that that's really exciting.
When we think about the offerings, you mentioned the plays themselves. I mean, for example, was the Shakespeare Festival putting August Wilson's plays on stage, say, in the 80s already? Or when did it begin to make plays that were a little more challenging to white audiences, I guess?
Well, I think that there's certainly in the early 90s you could begin to see just proportionally that we were telling different kinds of contemporary stories. There's always a need for kind of a range of things, Shakespeare, classical, modern, contemporary. And the desire to tell different stories within that sort of set frame of 11 plays has been a constant since I've been here for 20 years. So the broad or depth and what range we may go in any given year, we can do anything, but we can't do everything all the time. So we have to think about how we are portioning those things out. And I began to think in 4-year terms, like here's your Shakespeare High. Mm-hmm. After 4 years, what are the 44 plays I want all of us as a community to have in common? There's our cultural connection, right? What we all would have in common. And here's the range that I would like us to have. And so thinking of it that way just all of a sudden opens it up and makes it less precious. And it was like, yeah, then next year there'll be this. And the year after that, we're going to be doing this. And that also sort of fits in with kind of an every other culture fest. Just an awareness, formality. Mm-hmm. But really, it's happening all the time now.
Culture Fest, our discussion topic here on the Jefferson Exchange with Louis Morgan Douthat and Antonio Lyons at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. So in the same way that we're talking about picking cycles of plays, I mean, when you looked at the events that they were putting together for Culture Fest, I mean, you trying to build a cycle of stuff in here, get a lot of different corners painted in a sense?
We are. We're trying to have a very layered conversation, right?
So, does it build in tempo? I'm curious if whether you sort of deepen the conversation as the weekend goes on.
I feel like that it does. I feel like that the sort of kickoff activities with Universes, they're doing a Green Show performance, and they were the ones who brought us Party People.
Mm-hmm. These are the, it's like a resident performance.
Yeah, company, yeah. This is at Thursday, September 11th, so they're first. And then we have St. Jude as the OSF presents with Luis Alfaro, you know, that are very sort of personal explorations around their communities and their cultures. That shaped the American landscape. And then we jump into Bill's conversation that really grounds us to say, hey, this is what we're talking about. It sets the tone for the rest of the weekend to provide, I guess, people with a language or a different kind of lens to explore what they're going to be able to witness. And then we just sort of jump in full speed into all these other activities. And we wrap up the weekend with the opportunity for our audiences to be able to sort of reflect and to give voice.
I noticed
Sunday,
that is, yeah, on
whose
Sunday.
Whose theater is this?
Right. Mm-hmm. 4:30 at the new place.
Yeah.
On the OSF campus. And so that's not a, is it a moderated discussion? Is it no
it is
speaker?
It's a moderated discussion, but it's really for our audiences. Freda Casillas in audience development, who runs that department, is a fierce advocate for our audiences, having voice, being at front and center of these conversations because they are being impacted by the work. Those audiences continue to shift and change and grow. We have a particular very strong core audience that is very committed to our work, and we're committed to seeing that expand. No shrinkage anyway, but like adding more voices, adding more cultures, adding as much diversity as we can to that particular population. And so we can't do that unless we hear what it is that they have to say, unless we're listening intently to their hopes and their desires and their joys, you know, and their concerns. And so that gives an opportunity for that to be an active conversation and an engagement.
I'm sure there's a fair amount of feedback already. I mean, anybody who plunks down $50 for a theater ticket for one seat and then $50 for the one next usually is going to feel like they are empowered to say something back. So I'm curious about what you two hear over the years about the level of diversity you're offering. I mean, are people just generally saying, hey, this is great, you know, what you've done, the colorblind casting, the genderblind casting, all the other stuff you've done? Or are you getting some like, oh my God, I came to see plays by a 400-year-old white guy? So, you know.
The answer is yes.
To all of it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, definitely to all of it. I mean, it's, you know, I find that I'm much newer to OSF than Louis. What I found with some of the audiences I've had the opportunity to engage with is that their delight at being able to come to a place year after year, decade after decade, that provides them opportunities to witness themselves on stage, to hear stories that are familiar to them and some that aren't, to be challenged by the work that we create. And to be able to grow through that discomfort. I mean, there are 11 shows in the stage, so if there's one that you're like, that didn't quite land for me the right way, there's like 10 of this that you get an opportunity to sort of check out and go and find your place in it. And that's one thing that's really wonderful, that we provide that smorgasbord of theatrical experiences that you always have something that you can pick from.
There is a buffet, absolutely. All right, so 11 plays at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, not all on the stage at the same time, and some of those plays part of Culture Fest coming up September 11th through 14th of this year, just in a couple of weeks. We'll resume our discussion with Antonio Lyons and Louis Morgan Douthat from the Oregon Shakespeare Festival when we return to the Jefferson Exchange, and feel free to join us as well. Back with our guests and you in a minute 30. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking about the upcoming Culture Fest coming to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, September 11th through 14th, and what it represents in terms of diversity in theater, diversity in society, how diversity in art reflects diversity in society or not. And you can join this discussion on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. If you want to get a look at Antonio Lyons and Louis Morgan Douthat, check out our Facebook page, the picture we took just a little while ago, sitting there right now. And yes, they're smiling faces on. They're 9 o'clock in the morning faces. And you can get a look at those as well. The general discussion of inclusivity in the theater. I mean, obviously, we talked about this has been something that's been going on for a long time. Are you, as a result, getting more diverse audiences then over time? I mean, because believe me, the challenges for theater are very similar to the challenges for public radio. How do you expand to an audience of younger people, certainly, and to make them more diverse, not just in age, but also in ethnicity and other issues that make people different from one another? And let me see if I can rephrase that as a question now. How are you doing in bringing in more diverse audiences over time, Antonio?
We are working at it daily. It's a challenge. It really is a challenge. One of the challenges is changing perceptions locally about who OSF is for, and who what they will find there on our stages, you know, to make communities aware and that they have access, you know. So we also provide Spanish open captioning with some of our shows, and some of those are highlighted during Culture Fest so that we don't have the additional barrier of language always, so that people can engage in that particular sort of way. We do a lot of outreach around social media. We do traditional advertising. We're here with you this morning on radio, so that people have opportunity to understand that this place that has been around for 80 years continues to keep its doors open because audiences are important. And so we just continue to push forward in that area. Yeah.
I would just like to add that I think there's a multi-pronged approach that has to happen, and consistency in staying on point about programs and outreach is vital. So it may just be that in the last 6 to 8 years, it seems like things have just popped up and changed, but basically things have been incrementally happening along the way as well. But we have the FAIR program that Antonio mentioned, for instance, is a great program in terms of spreading the message about sort of openness. When you ask about inclusivity, it's about being open and having access. The Green Show that Claudia Alec produces, beginning 8 years ago, with the sort of variety of programming and the range of that, which really expands our definition of what diversity means. We are already diverse people. And that's a fact of life, right? So how we invite everyone in, it has to be a genuine invitation. And I think if you've been on that Green Show, so if you've seen something on the, you feel an openness and a, you know, sense of invitation, and that you're part of something. And that just feels kind of great, I think. And so how do you take that into the house, meaning the Bomer and Elizabethan and Alan Elizabethan and the Thomas, and say, yeah, no, actually, we need you. We're not just kind of doing this for, but we need you to help by having your point of view about it and the thing you may like or not like. That's great. But we're going to present a coherent, at least we're hoping, coherent theatrical worldview for you to assess. Have at it. We want you to assess it. We want you to be active, proactive. We don't want you to be passive and be a part of that. So I think that that's some of it. And then there's an audience development program that's really great. Then it's, you know, the kinds of plays that we're choosing on stage. So it's the multi-pronged thing, I think, that really helps. I wish I had the statistics in front of me, so I'm going to make up some right now and say that...
Numbers grabbed out of thin air.
Yeah, exactly, right. It's something like it definitely in terms of audiences, the school groups that have been coming since forever, it seems. But you know, those programs which have been part of our programming for a long, long time, that those school groups are high population, diverse populations, the highest percentage, and it's something like 30. It may even be higher. So they're already we're having this kind of population come into the theaters, and we have exchanges with them, and that in some ways is already sort of opening us all up for. So that's one thing, and there has been some movement in terms of percentage of populations. In terms of numbers, again, incremental, but from 20 years ago to now, definitely I see a difference.
I'm glad you brought up the Green Show, because it gives us an opportunity to talk to a broader geographical audience, too, and remind ourselves that we exist not just in Ashland, where our studios are and where the Shakespeare Festival exists, but in this service's geographic realm from Mendocino all the way up to Eugene. And the Green Show is this free outdoor thing on the bricks outside the theaters at 6:45 in the evening. Now, it used to be a fairly tame affair with people in Elizabethan dress and lutes and wooden flutes and that sort of thing, but changed radically 12 years ago now, at least, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, when Claudia came in, I think that was when Bill came in at 8 or 9 years ago, and then Claudia was hired.
But I think even Libby Apple period changed
a bit. Yeah, right, sure.
But for example, so from lutes and flutes and Elizabethan dress to seeing breakdancing just a few weeks ago out there.
Well, you know, there was a wonderful a presentation by a woman who talks about Shakespeare's stories and like what would have happened in Shakespeare's time. So it's not completely off the range. What I love is the range of it. Yeah. And in any given day, you're like, well, I don't know. But wow, that's sort of interesting. I never would have thought about that. I think that she's done an amazing job in terms of sort of exposing us and just sort of opening us up. Just music, which would open us up anyway, and then to sort of receive what's going to happen, you know, that night on any of the stages. And just to link it back to Culture Fest for a second, Jeffrey, I mean, Claudia also curated these shows with Culture Fest in mind, kind of back to one of your earlier questions about do we program for. She definitely does try to get as diverse and different range that she can schedule, you know, for Culture Fest.
And I noticed that within Culture Fest, the Green Show on Saturday, September 13th is the Heiwa Taiko drummers. Mm-hmm. I got a real giggle out of the description there. What's
please,
the
you have to read it. Please read it. Please read that description. I want to hear your voice. It's the best.
Where did I put it? Okay, let's see. This is, do I have it right in front of me? It's Dynamic Hip Grandma Taiko Drummers, average age 72, oldest 89.
Yes.
So definitely going for age diversity here, too.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And so that's one of the things that I find delightful about being at OSF. Like, there's a surprise around every corner and always quality, you know. And I have a thing for elders, you know, when they are creating nonstop until the very end. You know, it says a lot about life. It says a lot about OSF that we are going to continue to create and provide something new and interesting and diverse. And I am going to be out there on those bricks, checking those ladies out, and eating something from the taco truck at the same time.
Yeah, let's talk about the food. The taco truck's going to be there all through Culture Fest?
Every glorious, calorie-filled day.
I sense you particularly are looking forward to this, Antonio Lyons.
I am. You know, because it's right there at hand. You know, you kind of sneak out during a little break. You know, you can get something to have for now and later. But it's also a place where people always congregate around food, you know. And I think sometimes we forget how important it is to break bread, right? And to be able to stand around eating tacos that are sometimes a bit messy with other people and enjoying that flavor, you know, in that communal moment after seeing something at the Green Show or seeing something on our stages or checking out a reading or coming out of the Culture Fest Lounge, that it's great, you know, and it's centrally located right there across from the box office. And I really enjoyed that aspect. I enjoyed that commitment to the fullness of what a festival should be.
Does theater, just to get back to the broader issue of diversity, I mean, does live theater, in both of your opinions, is it leading the way in diversity in ways that perhaps movies or TV cannot because they are so profit-focused? Now, granted, you have to make some money doing what you do, too. But, I mean, It seems like live theater takes greater risks, even at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, which obviously is built around material from 400 years ago.
I may separate it in terms of sort of intent, meaning how commercial something has to be and assumptions made about how to make the money back, you know, in a profit situation, sort of. So television, film, commercial films to a certain degree. It does seem that those numbers and some of the reports that we've read recently, that still the statistics are abysmal in terms of range of kinds of folks you would see and stories you would see, you know, in those media. And I think that there's still a challenge in theater as well, which is sort of related to, but there's so much, I'm kind of back to the explosion of kinds of expression that have happened in the last, you know, 10 to 15 years in terms of how people can figure out how to present their story and tell their story for each other. It doesn't necessarily have to mean for 500 people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's still a valid theatrical event, mm-hmm. when you have that sort of expression, and whoever will, you know, the 100 people who will come to that play reading, or the thing on YouTube that you made that's telling your story, or the poetry slam that you participated in, mm-hmm. or the company that you formed to do a devised piece in an abandoned, you know, meatpacking, mm-hmm. plant sort of use that space as a way to have a point of view, to make a point of view. So I think that the live performance, perhaps, if we broaden it,
not just theater,
which obviously employs theatrical techniques, but if we think about that, oh my goodness, that's just gorgeous in terms of its breadth.
Is it possible to do all the events at Culture Fest, Antonio, or are there times when you're going to be in a theater when something is going on out on the bricks or something?
We have tried not to program against ourselves. So you may not get to everything, but I think that you can get to almost as much as you want to. The play readings happen that time of morning because as well as some of the discussions at the times that they take place, because there aren't any shows on our main stages at that particular time. There isn't a green show that it's going to program against. So we really try to plan really intentionally around that, so that people, if they want to just sort of camp out at OSF from the 11th through the 14th, that they can do that and sort of participate in as much as possible.
And again, not the plays themselves, not the Shakespeare plays in the theaters, but the other events related to Culture Fest, the green shows and the discussions, generally free, but some free/ticketed. So they have to obtain tickets for these?
Yeah, because it's limited seating, and there's often a high demand, you know, for a lot of our programming. So some things have to be ticketed, and even though they're free. And so they would either go to our website, osfashland.org, and they can book tickets that way. They can also call at 541-482-4331 to also book tickets for those events. Full schedule of events is also on our website, as I just mentioned, and they can go to the Cultural Connections page, or they can go directly to the Culture Fest page. I'm excited. Are you coming?
I'm sure I'll be able to hit some of this stuff. I mean, although some of it's going to be a hard fit to be able to get out there right after the show and see David Henry Hwang and Bill Rausch and Carmen Morgan and Sarah Bellamy at the Creating Inclusivity in the American Theater.
That sounds like a live on-location broadcast.
If we had the equipment. Although, you know, hey, with phones these days, you can do just about anything, right? The folks from Universes were here 2 years ago when Party People was up. We had Stephen Sapp, Mildred Ruiz Sapp, and Ninja, William Ruiz, here. What are they going to do in this kickoff in the Green Show on Thursday the 11th?
You know, Universes is, particularly with the Green Show, is always a surprise. And you never know. And they don't like us to disclose what they're going to do, you know. But I can guarantee you that it's something that's high energy, socially impactful, fun, and thought-provoking. That I can guarantee.
It will be that. And having seen Party People 2 years ago, that's why we had them here to talk about that play. I can imagine this is an example of a play, Louis Douthat, that really would have challenged some traditional audiences. It was very loud in the first couple of minutes and kind of in your face. But as you got into the story further about Black Panthers and people in the 60s, you realized, holy cow, these are really people who lived some real stuff here. Mm. And so, I mean, these are things you're challenging the audience a lot in some of the diversity efforts, but there's a big payoff.
I agree. I think one of the most successful things about Party People was the way that universes honored those stories. I mean, they did a lot of research, you know, talking to Black Panthers about experiences back and forth. And I think they're most proud of staying true to those stories, good, bad, and but really there was such specificity. And there seems to be an interesting combination about when you know that you're in the midst of a truth, that you'll kind of go along on that ride. And I think that that's one of the, like I said, one of the things I think they accomplished quite well there.
All right. The Culture Fest of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival comes up September 11th through 14th. Again, many of the events that are not actual plays are free to the public. They do require tickets in some cases. Antonio gave you the information about how to get those tickets. Antonio Lyons, Culture Fest co-producer. Louis Morgan Douthat, OSF Director of Literary Development. Thank you so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having us, Jeffrey.
Great to have you.
Monday, we will have some reruns because it's Labor Day. Tuesday, we'll talk about electric cars. We'll talk about Eating Local Week, and we'll talk about anti-heroes. I Wear the Black Hat will be the book we'll be talking about on Tuesday at 9 o'clock. Our producer and today's engineer, Charlotte Duran. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Have a great Labor Day weekend.